The PodFix Network.
That doesn't classify as feeding him to Bigfoot.
Well, hello, listeners. You're listening to This Week Today, a comedy podcast that takes a brief look at this week in history, news, entertainment, and more. Welcome to the show. I'm Toph. I'm joined by my regular co-host, Lord Saunders. How are you, sir?
Fandamtastic. Fandamtastic. How are you, friend?
That wasn't much better.
I said fandamtastic. Better than fandam casket.
I'm good. We recently did back to school, so that was interesting. Also, I tried out a new recipe for roasted chickpeas.
Who is this wild man that I'm talking to right now?
And I've been binging the show Alone.
How's that?
Amazing. I don't know why I didn't start watching it 7 years ago when it started.
What platform?
Netflix.
I'll check it out.
Yep. Are you serious? Have you not seen it?
No. Dude, I worked 100 hours a week for like 3 years.
Are you aware of it?
No.
You don't know what Alone is?
No, I know what being alone is like. That sucks.
Okay. Okay, so real quickly. So they pick like a really harsh landscape. Like, for example, the first two seasons was on Vancouver Island.
Okay.
And they take 10 people and they spread them out all over Vancouver Island far enough away that they can't get to each other. And they give them like some safety stuff, a handful of minor safety things. And then they can pick 10 items and then they leave them there as long as they can stay there.
Wow.
The last person to tap out wins $500,000.
That's it?
It is hardcore, Adam. Hardcore.
But for only 500,000?
Yes. So the first two seasons I'm in season three right now. And I watched season eight. I don't remember where that was. The first two seasons were on Vancouver Island. The third season is in Patagonia.
Oh, wow. For only $500,000?
Right. Right. Which they, by the way, they refer to the Patagonia as the edge of Earth.
Right. Yeah. I know that's an unforgiving hellscape.
Yeah. Where there's wild boars, panthers, and other things that want to eat you.
Right.
And it's very cold and winter comes early. I mean, like it's awful. It's
yeah. Awful. Sounds like a nightmare.
And it's also a captivating television show.
That's great.
Yes. And it's called Alone and it's on Netflix. Oh, I'm sorry. No. I told you wrong. It's on Hulu.
Ah, yeah. No problem. I have that one also.
Yes. Yes. So sorry. Alone is on Hulu. It's fantastic. Now, I'm just telling a bunch of people what they already knew because everyone's been talking about this show probably for years. But I just now, I mean, I knew about it, but I just now got around to watching it.
But that's at least cool. You got seven seasons to binge. That's awesome.
Hells yeah. And it's really great. And I'm watching it with my boys and they like it too.
Nice.
And also one more thing. I just want to acknowledge that the month of Devilbus continues.
Yes, Queen. Yes. I love the month of Devilbus.
That's right. All right, well, with that, let's get started and take a look at the calendar special days so everyone knows what to celebrate this week.
Let's do it.
Today is National Spumoni Day.
Well, what's a day of days?
Do you know what Spumoni is?
I have heard that word. I know what it is, but I do not remember.
This isn't going to do it justice, but it's the most delicious ice cream cake you could ever eat. And it's Italian.
Oh, yeah.
It's an Italian ice cream cake dessert. It's amazing.
Yep.
All right. Tomorrow is, National Waffle Day. Love waffles, especially the thick, flaky Belgian waffles.
Dude, I love waffles so much.
Tuesday, another thing that I love, National Creamsicle Day.
Oh, so good, even in the drink form.
Wednesday is National Cherry Popsicle Day. Thursday is National Banana Split Day. Friday is National Ice Cream Sandwich Day. And this is fitting, we wrap up this week of delicious, cavity-filled celebrations on Saturday with National Tooth Fairy Day.
That's a delicious week, my friend.
Yeah. Okay, of those six, what's your favorite? Spumoni, waffles. Okay, you already know. Waffles.
Yeah, it would go waffle, then ice cream sandwich.
Okay, good call. All right.
Yeah.
Well, Adam, with that, why don't we turn our attention to this week in history?
Well, I got a little list here for us, buddy, if you're ready for it.
Please.
Okay, Much like your temper, in 79 AD, Mount Vesuvius erupts. And it's fun to watch every time.
My temper has erupted several times since then.
And three times during this very podcast. In 1875, Captain Webb becomes the first person to swim the English Channel. That feels like it's a lot harder than it seems, and it seems hard.
No, so, I think that's a ridiculous accomplishment that's way underrated.
Yeah, it seems darn near impossible. And people do it. Because they're insane.
Which is more deadly, swimming the English Channel or going over the Niagara Falls in a barrel?
Oh, man. Probably the English Channel.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. And this week in 1911, the theft of the Mona Lisa is discovered. There will be no more on that later. Yeah, you weren't expecting that. In 1959, Hawaii becomes the 50th state. I think that's often overlooked how recent that was. In 1989, Nolan Ryan registers his 5,000th strikeout. He is a legend among legends, my friend.
And allow me to interrupt here. There's an amazing documentary about Nolan Ryan's career that's available right now. It's called Facing Nolan. It will blow your mind.
I would love to watch that. I've always liked him and his absolute take no crap attitude from anyone.
He lives up to his own legend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's kind of like Peter DeVilbiss.
Yes, it's exactly like that.
Yeah.
Nolan Ryan is the Peter DeVilbiss of baseball.
That's awesome. Well, in the same year, Pete Rose gets banned for life from baseball.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a kind of an upper and downer there. Another downer in 1992, the shootings at Ruby Ridge occur, which is horrible. 8 years later, in 2000, the first Survivor finale airs, and your actual show made me think about this. I have never enjoyed that show. My cousin loved it, and I know it's on for like a million years. I've always found that show to be very, very like difficult to watch.
I really like it, but I can tell you now that I've watched Alone, it makes it look like child's play.
Yeah, yeah. I get why it's appealing, and also it just feels like a pain in the ass.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, in 2004, Michael Phelps wins his 8th medal, which was like his 8th of a million. So that guy's awesome. And thanks to you, Neil deGrasse Tyson, you smug jerk. In 2006, Pluto loses its status as a planet.
It's totally bunk.
Yeah. It's bull crap.
We have an official This Week Today Show stance on that, and we think that Pluto is a planet.
Yeah, for sure.
So there.
Yeah.
I'm not sure who has more authority on the subject, either us or Neil deGrasse Tyson, but I'm going to say us.
Us, 100%.
All right, Adam, thank you for that. How about we move on to the news?
I love the news and jingles.
Adam, are you or have you ever been a fisherman?
Yeah, one time.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Did you say you've been one time?
No. I mean, like, at one time in my life, I would consider myself a fisher, a regular fisher.
Okay. Have you ever gone noodling?
Never noodling.
Do you know what that is?
I mean, I know what some type of noodling is.
No, as a fishing term, it's a fishing technique. No. Do you know what the fishing technique noodling is?
No.
Okay, so this is when you don't use any fishing equipment.
Uh-huh.
You just reach under like a rock or a log or something that's in the water. And it's a way that you catch mostly catfish. But basically you feel around for the catfish. The catfish bites onto your hand and you yank it out on your arm.
Yeah, I've seen that done many times. It also feels very unsafe.
Yes, it's incredibly, like, it's completely stupid that anyone fishes this way.
Yeah, totally.
So speaking of that, Larry Doyle Sanders, or let's just say Larry Sanders.
Okay.
Not from the Larry Sanders Show, because he died several years ago.
Of course.
But Larry Doyle Sanders, age 53, went noodling at the South Canadian River with his close friend Jimmy. And while they were fishing, they got into some sort of confrontation, as will happen. And so Larry went over to Jimmy hit him with a stick, strangled him, and drowned him.
Yep, that's what happens when you go fishing.
Also, I forgot to do the warning. Ugh, dang it.
Play it now. Play it now. It'll be fine.
Okay. Okay, Gray.
Warning. This contains graphic content that may distress some readers.
Okay, so anyway, so Larry murdered his good friend Jimmy.
I mean, if you haven't murdered your friend with it over an argument while fishing, have you even really gone fishing?
No. especially noodling.
Yeah, come on.
If you've gone noodling several times and haven't murdered anyone yet, then you've not gone.
You've not gone noodling.
You've not gone noodling.
What are you doing?
And so, as you might expect, oh, I forgot to say that after he murdered him, he then went home for family dinner.
Of course, right. Yeah, because like it's just a thing, yeah.
And he confessed to the murder to his family.
Oh, man, at dinner.
Yeah, and then Jimmy's body was found the next day in the river.
Oh, poor Jimmy.
So you might be asking, why did he do such a thing? Like, what was the confrontation about, or what was he so angry about?
That's what I'm asking.
Well, Larry believed that Jimmy had tricked him into going out there, because he thought that he was planning on feeding him to Bigfoot.
Oh, this old chestnut.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it wasn't just, hey, do you want to go fishing like we've done so many times before? He thought it was a ruse to get him to go out there so that he could feed him to Bigfoot.
Yeah, that just feels like probably something you should have talked to somebody about beforehand.
Like, uh-uh, I'm not falling for this. I'm not going this time. You're going to feed me to Bigfoot.
Yeah, like, man, I also feel like there are more courses of action before you murder him. You know what I mean? Like, it feels like there's a few steps you could have taken before that.
Well, how about I share just a handful of extra details?
Okay.
So in Larry's mind, the plan was for them to go out there to go fishing when they weren't really going fishing. And then I guess Bigfoot was going to show up, or he's going to call for Bigfoot. And then when he arrived on scene, Jimmy was going to outrun Larry so that Bigfoot caught Larry first.
So not even like push him down, just run faster than him.
Yes.
That doesn't classify as feeding him to Bigfoot.
Well, I mean, I think what it really comes down to is Larry just wasn't very confident in his own athletic abilities.
Okay, good. So he's insecure.
Yeah. So instead, mm-hmm. He's like, well, if I murder him, he's not going to outrun me.
Right. And then I'll feed him to Bigfoot. Turn the tables.
Which, to be fair, that's true. If you murder someone and leave their body on the banks of the river, you're going to outrun them.
Yeah, that's right.
Like, if you can't outrun a corpse that you've recently murdered, then you're really slow.
Yeah. And if you don't have the wherewithal to at least be on the other side of that corpse before Bigfoot gets to you, even slower.
That's right. That's right. And as you might expect, after killing Jimmy, Larry drove back home in Jimmy's truck. Because I guess Jimmy... That was another miscalculation. Larry probably should have drove, but he didn't. Jimmy drove, and so Larry had to then steal his truck.
Right. Hey, whose truck did you bring over here to family dinner? No one's? Really?
Well, I also should add that when Jimmy's son asked where his dad was, Larry simply said, "Your dad's not coming back."
Boy, the hits just keep on coming, huh?
Yeah. Also, Jimmy's son is dating Larry's daughter.
Oh, this is awkward.
Yeah.
Are they going to sue him for $7.5 billion for killing Jimmy?
It doesn't say.
Darn it.
But I will tell you that that Larry remains in county jail and has been charged with first-degree murder.
Okay, good. At least there's that.
And I think you'd be happy with this, because this is something we pay attention to. Mm-hmm. If Larry is found guilty, the local prosecutor will likely push for the death penalty.
Oh, interesting.
Yep, which I think is fair.
Yeah, I mean, Jesus, you killed somebody because of Bigfoot.
Well, Adam, we don't have time for our next story.
I still get mad every time.
Justifiably, I think you should. but I do have a headline.
Okay.
Chess playing robot breaks finger of 7-year-old boy during Russian chess tournament.
It sounds exactly what would come out of Russia. In Soviet Russia, chess plays you. Yeah.
So we'll make every possible effort to get to that one in a future episode.
Yep. Yep, absolutely we will.
Adam?
Yes, sir?
How about birthdays?
You know I got them, bro. I got a list. We're going to do in quick hit style. All right, you ready?
Yes.
All right. Dua Lipa turns 27. James Harden turns 33, the age of our Lord Christ. Usain Bolt turns 36. John Mulaney, the comedian, very funny, turns the big 40, my friend, the big 40, okay? 40 years on this planet.
Can I just recognize you're getting much better?
Thanks. Thanks, buddy.
You bet.
All right. This is quick hits. I got to keep going. Alexander Skarsgård turns 46.
That's for Keith and Derek.
Of course. Kristen Wiig, 49. Dave Chappelle, also 49. Claudia Schiffer turns 52. Melissa McCarthy, 52. Reggie Miller, that mighty three-ball shooter, turns 57. Paul Rubens, my friend. Do you know who Paul Rubens is?
Pee-wee.
That's right. Yep, 70 years old today, bro. The big 7-0. Long way from Pee-wee's Playhouse to Pee-wee's retirement home. But it's 70 years old. Happy birthday, my brother. Moving on to some rock and roll. Gene Simmons turns 73. The recently retired Vince McMahon turns 77. And Barbara Eden rounds us out with a big 9-1. The 91 years young, friend. And that concludes birthdays.
Do you know who Barbara Eden is?
Nope.
You really don't?
I mean, without Googling, no.
Have you heard of the show I Dream of Jeannie?
Yeah.
She was the genie.
Oh, that's her. Okay.
Yep.
Oh, that was a funny show.
Yep, and she was Foxy.
Yep, Foxy Lady.
All right, how about some Born This Week But Now Dead?
All right, thank you, Adam, and thank you, Clay Groves. Adam, I have two people that were born on this day but are now dead.
Okay.
First, Mother Teresa died in 1997 at the age of 87. Today she would have been 112. And a second person, very similar to Mother Teresa, former President Lyndon B. Johnson, died in 1973 at the age of 65. Today he would have been 114.
Gone too young, my friend.
Mm-hmm. And I can't think of two more similar people.
Yep, the exact same.
Adam, we have just one more thing before we go.
Okay.
And this is something I'm very, very excited about.
Great.
Do you know what this is?
No. The month of DeVilbus?
It is the month of DeVilbus. But in addition to that, perhaps you remember that you recently triggered another countdown clock.
Yes, I did.
This is called the Maya Rudolph is no longer funny, according to Adam, countdown update. So, Adam, Maya Rudolph turned 50 on July 27th.
Yep.
Of this year. 50, Adam.
Yep. Milestone.
And so I'm going to play the segment. We're going to get in the Wayback Machine.
Oh, yeah.
And go back to our prior episode. Go back to episode 160. I'm going to play the clip that triggered this countdown clock.
Okay. Hillary Swank, 48, close to a milestone birthday, which is hit currently by Maya Rudolph, and she is hilarious still at the age of 50. Happy birthday, Maya Rudolph.
Is there an age where you expect her to no longer be hilarious?
Yes, 51.
Oh, wow. Okay, well, Maya, make the most of this next several months, because you are no longer going to be funny soon.
Yeah, you are on borrowed time, Maya.
Okay.
Yeah, well, moving along, we have Christopher Nolan, who turns 52.
It was that comment by you that triggered the countdown clock.
Hey, and to be clear, I love Maya Rudolph. Okay?
It's not a question of whether you love Maya Rudolph or I love Maya Rudolph or whether we currently think she's very, very funny and very talented. It's just the fact that you put her on a countdown that by her next birthday next year, according to you, she will no longer be funny.
The rules, you know, are unflinchingly rigid, and I don't make them.
Well, and the rule that's at play here is that you've got to be very careful about what you say because you could trigger a countdown clock.
And that's, and we've learned that lesson more than once.
Yes, because the last time it happened, and I don't remember when it was initiated, but I made a quip about Ed Asner, and Tiff called me out and said, if he dies before this time next year, you're responsible for his death. And so I triggered the Ed Asner death clock. And for the record, even though Tiff even recently has argued this, because Ed Asner, not long after the conclusion, after the clock, the countdown went down to zero, and legally I was no longer responsible for Ed Asner's death, Ed Asner died.
Dude, you barely survived that by like weeks.
It doesn't matter, Adam. It doesn't matter if it's an hour. The point is the clock went to zero. And even recently, Tiff still blames me for Ed Asner's death.
No, I'm just saying, like, it went all the way to, like, the end of the countdown. You know, it was a game time, like, you know, 0 minutes on the clock play.
Well, Ed Asner didn't seem like he was doing very well, so I was very concerned that I would be held personally responsible by Tiff and perhaps other people for the death of Ed Asner.
Yeah, Lord knows if Josh Hallmark gets a hold of it, you're screwed.
No. I mean, I don't want to incur the wrath of Tiff either, but nothing is worse than incurring the wrath of Josh Hallmark.
Yeah, either of those is a significant blow.
So anyways, when we did the Ed Asner death clock, we played the death clock theme song. And then as part of that segment, you shared a death clock fun fact every single week. Okay, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to share a Maya Rudolph fun fact each week.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So before I tell you how many days before Maya Rudolph is no longer funny, according to Adam, I'm going to share this fun fact. Our very first Maya Rudolph fun fact. Are you ready?
Yep.
Okay. Maya Rudolph's paternal grandfather was Sidney Rudolph, a philanthropist who once owned all of the Wendy's and Rudy's restaurants in Miami-Dade County, Florida.
Yeah! Represent the 305, motherfuckers!
I pulled that one out just for you, Adam, as a longtime resident of Miami.
That was a fun fact.
Right? So, that's a tone-setting fun fact right there. I want you to know that that's what you can expect.
Man, that's almost as good as a bass player being named William Murderface.
Yeah, so that's the level of fun you can expect from future fun facts.
Oh, man. And those are fun, believe me.
Mm-hmm. So with that, Adam, the countdown is set up. Today is our first update. And folks, get out there and consume as much Maya Rudolph content as you possibly can because...
TikTok.
There are now only 340 days until Maya Rudolph, according to Adam, is no longer funny. Godspeed, everyone.
Yep. Yep, she's going to get me blocked on Twitter.
That would be an honor.
It would be.
All right, Adam, that brings us to the end of this episode of This Week Today.
Boo, you jerk.
Some brief credits before we go. Come join us in our Facebook group. It's called the Gravity Beard Interns. Find us on Twitter by searching at This Week Pod. The number for the JonBenet Ramsey Crime Tips Hotline is 214-531-3936. We appreciate it if you would subscribe, rate, and review us wherever you listen to podcasts. This Week Today is a proud member of the PodFix Network. For more information, go to podfixnetwork.com or search at PodFix on Twitter. Thank you to our friend Phil Rude for our custom logo. For my pal Lord Saunders, I'm your co-host Toph. You've been listening to This Week Today. It's what your ears will want to be listening to.
Y'all come back now, yeah?
This Week Today is a proud member of the PodFix Network.
Dude, I love waffles so much.